to the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. It's Bridget and I listening together, working together, and we're going to have a great show because there are so many important items in the medical news this week, and we have a tremendous guest. That guest, Dr. Vangens Ness, who is a MD from the University of Minnesota, where he was born and raised. He did graduate studies in public health, but really what his specialty is orthopedics, and he tells about how to prevent and what to do about treating arthritis, and especially how to talk about it in light of the new stem cell transplants that may regenerate your cartilage without the need for getting a new hip or a new knee. We're going to ask him, some of you have already sent in email questions. One of the best is, I need a new hip, or I'm going to need a new hip in 2 years. At least that's what the doctor says. Should I postpone this till stem cells are available? We'll talk about all that. That's at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, we also have some great medical stories. For example, about 13 million more would get statins based on the new guideline. In fact, it's about 85% of people over the age of 60, and 45% between 40 and 60 would qualify for receiving one of the low-cost statins. You could say, is this due to the pharmaceutical industry staffing the committees? No, and they didn't. It is due to the fact, in fact, the statins are now so inexpensive in general that there's very little that the pharmaceutical companies will make on this, but a lot that America will save if we did that. Alzheimer's onset could be triggered by sleep disturbances and also associated with a new protein, RUSH, and we'll talk about that protein. More screenings, and this is the top story of the week, more screenings put a dent in colon cancer. Major third-hand smoke compounds causes DNA damage. Could living or working near fast food shops make you obese? And sorting out the risks of fish, should we worry about it? And then one of the stories about older muscle builds, older adults, you need to build muscle to live longer. And one of the most fascinating to me, over 75% of people with the flu do not have symptoms. Bridget, what's your favorite on the nutrition front this week?
Well, there were a lot of good nutrition stories, but I think that my favorite had to do with the emergency room visits involving energy drink consumption. And I also liked education on using herbs, reducing sodium intake. And I also liked the fast food story.
Well, one of the stories that you're talking about was, in fact, that energy drink. And what I couldn't believe is how many people went to the emergency rooms because of energy drinks. So tell us the rest of the story.
So they found that more than 10% of emergency room visits by people age 12 or older for problems involving energy drinks were serious enough to result in hospitalizations. And the initial emergency room visits totaled to over 20,000 in 2011 due to difficulties because of consuming too much caffeine from the drink.
So 20,000 emergency room visits, that's amazing. And 10% of those people get admitted because they have a serious enough problem.
Right. Yeah, it's a big problem, especially with energy drinks being sold to kids. So the recommendations for adults on safe limits of caffeine range from 200 to 400 milligrams a day. And then the American Academy of Pediatrics recommend that children consume no more than 200 milligrams a day. But the problem with energy drinks is that because they're regulated under, they can be under food and or dietary supplements. So some of the ingredients like taurine and ginseng and others are additional sources of caffeine that aren't recognized as what's on the label.
Now, one of the stories that I liked most was that older adults need to build muscle, and if they do, they're the least likely to die. This is from UCLA, and research showed that the more muscle mass older adults have, and you can build muscle by any resistance training, that is using your body as your gym, doing planks and push-ups and sit-ups, or using resistance exercise, but it says the more muscle mass an older American has, the less likely they are to die prematurely, and that relates not only to their ability to build muscle mass, but also that they do other things because they don't develop frailty. And it fits with our study last week that older adults need at least 40 grams of protein a day. And the more, it seemed, the better, as long as they don't have kidney problems, that in getting more protein, they actually build more muscle. And the key in that is don't get protein that is based on red meat or egg yolks. We say avoid lecithin, choline, and carnitine. Now, some of those are actually in the energy drinks that Bridget was talking about causing emergency room visits, but it is also true in some of the protein shakes, etc. You get protein that isn't healthy for you. So build muscle mass by doing resistance exercise. There are a series of them. If you want to go to realage.com or clevelandclinicwellness.com, we have a series of exercises that are free on the internet, and in You on a Diet and You Staying Young and You the Owner's Manual, we have these wonderful exercise programs that where you can use your own body as your gym. But it's pretty easy to do, and if you do that, it's important. That fits with another article that says that women, and it was only a study in women, can increase hip density by doing something like jumping jacks, that is landing on ground. So whether you jump hop or jump up straight and land, or whether you do jumping jacks or something else that you don't have a chance of falling very much, but you do have a chance of hitting the ground with your legs, that apparently that impact builds muscle in, or builds bone, and increases the bone density of your hips and back and decreases fracture risk. Bridget, pick another favorite story.
Okay, let's do the sodium one. So there was a study, and it's probably important to say that the study was funded by the McCormick Science Institute. But
so that's McCormick Spices.
Right, exactly. It was presented on Wednesday at the American Heart Association, and I'd like to think that although it was funded by the McCormick Spices, that it does have some significant findings. So they presented this study that found that the behavioral interventions that taught adults how to use spices and herbs were able to lower their overall sodium intake compared to the people who just were instructed to reduce their sodium intake on their own. So the study included 55 volunteers, and 60 of them had high blood pressure. And in the first phase, which was 4 weeks, everyone was consuming a low sodium diet, and this was a very controlled study. The researchers provided all of the food and beverages for the 4 weeks to participants, and then for the second phase, which was 20 weeks, half of the participants were involved in a behavioral intervention that taught them how to cook using spices and herbs, and which spices and herbs pair well with certain foods, and then the others were just doing it on their own. And they found that in the second phase, sodium intake, it did increase in both groups compared to the low sodium diet that they were.
And we're going to take a break now on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We'll be right back. Stay here because we've got great stuff.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So, it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly, no doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Dr. Young, Dr. Mike Roizen, along with Bridget. And Bridget has the stories relating to nutrition, but we have a great guest coming up at half past the hour. Slow the train to pain of arthritis. Common Sense Steps medication can give relief. Almost 54 million Americans have been diagnosed with arthritis. By 2030, the number is expected to hit 67 million. C. Thomas Vangnes, a professor of orthopedic surgery and chief of sports medicine at the University of Southern California's Keck School of Medicine, will tell you how to suffer less. The book, The New Science of Overcoming Arthritis, Prevent or Reverse Your Pain, Discomfort, Limitations. And it's a wonderful book, but he's going to also talk to us about stem cells and what their role is and the coming use of stem cells in this field and whether you should wait or not for stem cells to be, if you will, first-line treatment before you get that hip or knee replaced. And I know a couple of you are interested in that. We're now going to talk, I want to go through a couple of these medical stories in... And I'll just alert Bridget, I'm going to do them in some order. So the story that was fascinating, 1 million, if you will. No, that's wrong. It is almost, I can't remember the number of millions. I think it's 13 million more people should have a statins than are now getting them based on new guidelines. These are the guidelines released by the American College of Cardiology and American Heart Association that moved away from cholesterol numbers or targets and moved towards, if you will, your lifestyle and your risk of having a heart attack or stroke. And Duke researchers at this time looked at 3,700 people nationwide, and they found that of people that are 60 to 75, 87% of men and 53% of women should take statins if they aren't already. That is, the 53% of women is more than double the 21% that are on targets. The men is, again, more than double, 87% if you're over 60, up from 30% now. The number from the age of 40 to 60 is around, as I remember it, it's around 45% of people should be taking them. So you really ought to talk to your doc if you're not. I think that's statins have a tremendous benefit in decreasing inflammation in your body in general and are very useful. And although they do have some side effects, which can be muscle pain and can be a new onset or increased risk of a high blood sugar that can even lead to the diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. So if you haven't gotten your risk factor done, you can go on the internet, just put in Reynolds risk score, put in your gender, and you can calculate your 10-year risk. If it's over 5%, you should be on a statin, according to this. If you don't know some of the numbers, go and get them from your doc. Bridget, let's pick another story, if you will. One of the ones you seem to like was the one on mother's media and childhood obesity.
I did. I found this study very, very interesting. So they looked at children whose mothers paid close attention to how much time they spent watching TV, and they found that it was associated with the weight of the child. And even thinking back to my own childhood, my parents both, we had TV limits in our house because my parents didn't let us watch more than 10 hours of TV a week. And we didn't have TVs in our bedroom. And I thought that it was so unfair growing up because all my friends did. But according to the study, my parents had our best interests at heart. So they found that the parents that... specifically the mothers who monitored their children's media consumption, they were thinner at age 7 and gained less weight over the next years that the study was conducted. And they found that fathers monitoring was surprisingly not tied to weight changes in children, but that it might just be because the mothers were the primary care providers for the children. And they also found that less aggressive media monitoring by the moms was associated with more irregular weights among children for the entire period of the study. So what this basically found is that there is a link between TV monitoring and weight in children, and especially during early adolescence, which is a crucial time period for children to be establishing healthy habits that will serve them lifelong and promote a healthy weight. And also that parents should be the role models and not be sitting in front of the television all the time and making their children think that that's a normal behavior, and encouraging them to be active instead.
Many people don't get the second hour. Some only listen to the first hour of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can get us anytime at RadioMD.com. Look for the podcasts, if you will, on iHeartRadio. But also, you can get this, you can get all the shows on RadioMD.com in the archives. In the second hour, if you have to leave and can't listen to the second hour or don't get it on your station, you can tune in much later and get it anytime. And there's some important things. So, for example, are coffee pods leaching plastic toxins into your cup of Joe? That is, what about those Keurig? Are those safe? BPA plastic still leaches endocrine disruptors. What can you do to avoid it? And upstate New York Coke plant has been fined $24 million for pollution that constitutes a public health hazard. And why did Paris make public transit free this week? So there's some really great stories that Gary Ginsburg will be talking about in the second hour. In addition, we'll cover more of these. Another one on statins that was fascinating this week is that it may help control multiple sclerosis. So the inflammation that is decreased, if you will, by statins also seems to help people with multiple sclerosis not develop brain shrinkage. People who were on MS, had brain shrinkage and shrinkage of areas around their hippocampus. When they in fact were taking the statins, they had less shrinkage and less problems than they would otherwise. Now, there's also a story about women and Alzheimer's disease. Women are at higher risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. This I found fascinating. 1 in 6 women will develop Alzheimer's disease. It's greater than the risk of breast cancer, Alzheimer's disease is. And what do you do for it? Well, you know, it is a little serious cardiovascular exercise and managing your stress. There's a wonderful technique for doing that, or a series of wonderful techniques. But whatever you learn, and if you don't know one, you can go to clevelandclinicwellness.com/stressfreenow or clevelandclinicwellness.com/stress, and you can find a program that teaches 8 different techniques that has a very good success rate. But right now we're spending around $215 billion on Alzheimer's care, if you will, that is free. That is, that's the amount that people spend in the hours of unpaid care, $220 billion. It equals, in fact, the amount that we pay, the medical system pays. But by 2050, that's supposed to reach $1.2 trillion in today's dollars. That's because of a tripling of Alzheimer's rates. So it is really a big issue, a major issue, again, the women, 1 in 6 will develop it, 1 in 11 men. So, and even so, women become a greater population of caregivers. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay with us. We have a great guest coming up. It is the new science of overcoming arthritis. Prevent or reverse your pain. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks. Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Juliana and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we have a special treat for you this half hour. Dr. Thomas Vangsness has written a book, great book, The New Science of Overcoming Arthritis. What I like about it is he really does know the science of this field. It's not BS or bad science. It is really solidly done in a beautiful, if you will, book. And we should start it off with you're a tremendously high-paid, well-respected, I mean, tremendous respected orthopedic surgeon who does sports medicine and is the head of sports medicine at USC, obviously a high-powered school from which a number of great athletes have emerged. Why did you take the time to write this about preventing arthritis? What motivated you to do that?
Well, thank you for the kind words, Mike. As a practicing doctor, I would sit and counsel my patients time and again, my young athletes, my middle-aged athletes, and I've always been an advocate of exercise to help and wellness, et cetera. And I'd give this arthritis talk again and again, and I finally said, why don't I write a book on it and help my patients? It's an inexpensive book to try and promote education about this difficult, perplexing, quiet epidemic, I call it, in our culture. So it was kind of a bucket list thing, and I, like you, I write on the weekends. I joke the university gives me 2 days a week off to do research now. It's Saturday and Sunday.
Right. Well, they always did give me those off. So, I mean, that's what we used to do. When I was a resident, we used to do crazy studies from 7 a.m. to midnight on Saturdays and Sundays to try and that was a long time ago. And we learned how to write then. You and I are about the same age, I understand. There are a couple of questions that are so fascinating I can't resist asking, so I'm going to ask the first one. The book, by the way, is The New Science of Overcoming Arthritis, and someone must have gotten it because there is a large chapter on stem cells and on the cusp of the Holy Grail, and this person said, I'm going to need a hip replacement, my doc says, in about 2 years. Can I wait for stem cells to be available, or how soon will they be available?
That question I get every day multiple times, and it's a long answer, but basically you are very correct. It is the forefront of what we call the next biology. There's a tremendous amount of interest in stem cell biology, and there's a lot of hyperbole as well. The reality is, right now, to do randomized clinical trials to get through the FDA is a very difficult task. It's a daunting task. It's a very expensive task. Clinical trials outside of cancer with stem cell biology are very minimal, and especially in musculoskeletal medicine. So the short answer to that question is, it's not coming soon. I was fortunate to publish recently in our big journal, the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery, our clinical trials we did at USC and several other centers around the country, the first human trial of injecting stem cells into human knees with a couple endpoints, one certainly for regrowing meniscus cartilage and two for articular cartilage effects. And it was really a safety trial more than an efficacy, but we did get some good results, and that's encouraging. But to do the next study for the joint, which I want to do, or even expanding to the hip, and with respect to your question, that's going to be years down the road and an awful lot of money for any drug company that wants to try and develop. And we're talking tens of millions of dollars, up to $200-$400 million for these studies. It's exceedingly complex.
And from a time standpoint, let's say there was unlimited money. Someone has written in, if there was unlimited money, and there probably should be from Medicare, he says, because it's such an expensive thing to do hip and knee replacements now. He said, if there was unlimited money, how long would it take for the studies to be done? And would they almost invariably be successful, or are we still far away on the technology, even in animals?
In an animal, did you say?
Yes. In other words, he said, if there was unlimited money in humans, are the animal studies promising enough that we assure success?
There's a big leap from animals to humans, and there's I can cite several. Animal studies, I've done a couple myself, which does show efficacy of stem cell treatments for arthritis and cartilage defects. There's several studies that show that, but it's a big jump to go from animals to humans. Even going from primates to humans is difficult and expensive. So if we had unlimited resources, we still have to get it through the FDA, because the FDA's concern, and rightfully so, is safety. There are, in our labs, we know that if we give stem cells, we can even get some cancer things turning on and turning up, because it does upregulate. And so that's always a concern with the FDA. So safety is the most important issue, and that's what makes it difficult to do these studies to make sure the patients are safe. Having said that, we're now lining up to do our next study, but it's going to take a lot of money.
Now, the next question that we have from a reader is I'm going to do these out of order, so since there's one that's more basic. We're talking with Dr. Vangsness, V-A-N-G-S-N-E-S-S, Vangsness, and the author of The New Science of Overcoming Arthritis. And there are two questions that are in one email. And the first question is, why do we get arthritis? And the second is, I started taking DHA for my brain, and it seemed to help my arthritis.
I can start with the DHA. There's absolutely no evidence in the literature that DHA is going to help the complex physiology and inflammation that's involved with degenerative arthritis. If it does work for that patient, that's terrific. You really have to prove that, and there's nothing in the literature that shows that. Going back to arthritis in general, it's such a complex a disease process it's hard to get all these different glucosamine, all these other chemicals we want to try and take, such as DHA. It's hard to prove that they really work. But indeed, if it works for you, individual patient, I say take it. That was this quick end. Now, what was your other question? I lost my thought there.
What causes arthritis was the major question, major thrust.
The complexity of arthritis is the current thinking is that there's a strong genetic component which predisposes the patient to accelerated wear and tear of the ends of the bones, the articular cartilage, just like the enamel in your tooth. As that wears down, it's an irreversible process, not unlike the tire treads in your car. And as we age, and we're an aging baby boomer society, these joints are simply wearing out. There's up to 60 million Americans with arthritis. And it's really having to do with inflammation. Just like if you bite your lip, you get swelling, that's inflammation. Well, once these joints and the chemicals in the joints get inflamed, it gets a process of chemicals that are released that kind of erode and wash away some of the cartilage surfaces, which makes degeneration, and then it refeeds itself with more inflammation, and the joint slowly wears down. It's a very complex set of chemical reactions, which we don't fully understand, but we know if we can knock down inflammation, we can slow the process. We keep our weight down, we can slow the process.
Well, that's the next question, which we're going to get to ahead. Right after the break. The next question is going to be someone who said, if I lose weight, will arthritis stop? And how much of arthritis is due to obesity? And is there a diet that's special for arthritis greater than just my losing weight? We'll ask that of the author of The New Science of Overcoming Arthritis, Thomas Vangsness, V-A-N-G-S-N-E-S-S. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank,
I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout: give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. Stay well is the motto, and one of the things you can stay well with is avoiding arthritis. So this is a question by a listener who said, I was overweight, I got thinner, and I lost most of my arthritis. How much of arthritis is due to obesity, and is it just the weight, or is it something else in obesity? And then the side question he asked is there a better diet than just losing weight for preventing or treating our arthritis?
That's a very good question, Mike, and a very hot topic in our culture. As you know, 2/3 of Americans are overweight, up to 1/3 are obese. And studies are now showing that obesity, besides giving systemic problems with increase in diabetes and things like this, we know that it affects inflammation. And there's a working term we call obeseritis now, or inflammation with obesity. And we know that, pure and simple, extra weight wears down the joints. And so, yes, your patient is correct that if I lose weight, and I still tell patients start small, but if it's a pound above the waist, it's 10 pounds at the knee, for instance. So a little bit of weight loss really helps with your knees and your hips. So we know that if arthritis is mostly genetic and traumatic, if you get it, once you have a lot of weight, it's going to make it worse. So, yes, the number one thing is to decrease your weight. And two, exercise to keep your joints going. But I think that obesity is a real problem. And yes, that we can absolutely help the arthritis, but we can't get it away. As I tell my patients, it's a slow train to more pain. And in that sense, there, to answer your second question, the diet, there is nothing in the literature that absolutely demonstrates that one diet is better than others. There's books written on diets, but there's no scientific foundation that this diet is better than this. The point is, keep your weight down, keep active, keep the joint moving, keep your muscles strong, and that gives you your best chance to overcome this arthritis pain.
Now, another question, if you will, is I heard, and I'm taking eggshell membrane for arthritis, and it seems to be working pretty well for me. Why do I not hear more about it? Why is glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate the only things I hear about?
Well, and that's probably a good question. I've not particularly heard that particular solution to arthritis, but I wouldn't rule it out either. The studies themselves, let's say, about glucosamine and chondroitin are conflicted for many reasons. The study designs are difficult. They're funded by the companies, and the regulation of those types of products are not as rigid as they are for our other medicines. So the flavor in the literature is that the literature doesn't absolutely demonstrate true efficacy. But yet at the same time, you and I both know our patients get better with these drugs, over these supplements of glucosamine and chondroitin, so maybe this egg product can work as well. But it's truly lacking in any science.
And the another question, which is interesting, since you're the team doc for several of the USC teams, is if you played a sport in college, wouldn't it be more likely for you to get arthritis as you get older, because you've obviously exercised hard on it when you were young and thus have a longer period to develop wear and tear? Is there data that the college athletes are worse, or is the exercise they learn to do such that it helps them prevent arthritis?
I think that the data is lacking to a real cause and effect in that sense. The data for, let's say, long-term running is not showing increasing arthritis. If the runners, the studies have shown that out of Stanford. But I think that it's more related to probably the genetics that predisposes the individual over time. If you get injured when you're young as an athlete, which is very common, that would predispose you many fold times to increased risk for degenerative osteoarthritis over time.
Well, that goes with another question. This person said, I had a medial meniscus tear when I was 30. Does that mean, he says he's 46 now, he says he has not developed arthritis, but he says, does that mean I'm going to have arthritis sooner rather than later because I had a medial meniscus repair?
Another good question we get commonly. I would say absolutely. If we don't have that valuable cushion, I tell my patients that the common procedure is to trim out that portion, leaving the meniscus deficient. It works well, but over time, you are at risk for getting arthritis. It may take 10, 20, 30 years. You're absolutely at risk. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get crippling, painful arthritis. And so I usually tell patients, yes, you're at risk, but it's probably the genetics that's going to make you more at risk, and your body habit and your activities more so than the meniscectomy itself. But it definitely puts you at risk compared to your brother, your twin brother, who doesn't have that surgery.
Now, the next question relating to that, and it's from a different person, and that is, if I'm at risk or if I'm wearing and tearing my cartilage, how long do you guess it's going to be before I can give some of my own stem cells to myself and have them repair my cartilage? Will this occur in our lifetime, or is it just too expensive to even think of? And maybe should we go to India to get this done?
Yeah, that, we get that a lot too. I get these questions commonly. It's going to be a long time, but it's going to be in our lifetime. It is expensive, but as with most technologies, expenses will be reduced as the volume of these procedures will increase. I think it's pretty well established that if you have a stem cell treatment, the stem cells are, one, immune privileged, And two, they have a strong anti-inflammation component. So it does two things. I think that these stem cells are they're really smart cells. They either are quarterbacks that direct the team in there to fight and help the arthritis, or two, they're a utility infielder, and they can play different positions, and they can help replace the bad cells. We don't really know for sure, but they do have a strong influence on degenerative arthritis. So I do anticipate in the future being able to apply stem cells into, let's say, the knee, in this case, the knee arthritis. And there's very little studies done to date, unfortunately. But intellectually, to me, it makes absolute sense as a great treatment that we absolutely have to investigate it in the future.
We did not get into with Thomas Vangsness, and it's Vangness, this wonderful book, The New Science of Overcoming Arthritis, the exercises you can do, what he recommends to do to prevent arthritis, to treat it, delay its onset. But it is all in this book, The New Science of Overcoming Arthritis. This is Dr. Mike Roizen on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on RadioMD.com. Stay young.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.